This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
Feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
Hide and seek.
Good evening and welcome to your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. My name is Dean Becker and a very fine evening to Andrew the Apprentice.
Good evening, Dean.
Lovely to have you across from me.
I know, it's been a while,
hasn't
it?
It's been quite some time.
A big thank you also to the
Chicks Talking Footy. Love that show. And they'll be doing a great job with the Pride game coming up in August.
Yes, only a couple of weeks away.
Looking forward to that.
Yes, should
I've
be good.
Been asked to host the function.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Madness reigns supreme.
God.
So we'll see how that goes. But looking forward to that one too. How have you been?
Very well.
You're about to piss off.
I am. About to go spend 4 weeks trotting around.
Yeah, you're boring me.
Europe.
You're fully prepared, are you?
Oh, yes, getting there.
Right. Okay. Where are you going?
We are going London, Paris, Prague, Copenhagen and Berlin.
Quiet trip then.
Quiet trip. Berlin happens to be, some festival happening in Berlin at the time.
Would that be a leather festival?
It would be a leather festival. The Folsom one, of course, that they've got there now.
Just happened to coincide
with
your
annual
leave.
Yeah.
Amazing.
My partner would have killed me had we not coincided it.
And on tonight's show, Andrew.
Yes. Well, they've been travelling around the world for the last couple of months.
Globetrotters.
Exactly. So we haven't been able to get them into the studio until now.
They are, of course, Melbourne's own rugby team. They won the Bingham Cup for 2016. We'll be speaking to the Melbourne Chargers right after this on Joy 94.9.
Melbourne's own gay and inclusive rugby team, the Melbourne Chargers, are inviting new players of any age, sexuality, skill level, shape and size to join the charge. Learn the game of rugby union in a supportive environment with like-minded guys. We don't hold tryouts and everyone gets a run. It's a great way to keep fit and meet new people. Visit melbournechargers.org for more info. melbournechargers.org.
Hide and seek.
Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice are with you. And just a month or so ago, Andrew, our very own rugby team did something that, well, seemed absolutely impossible for years and years on end.
Exactly. And it's actually a couple of months ago. It was back in May.
Has it gone that quick?
I know. And everyone here in Melbourne was extremely excited. And there was even a tweet go out by the Premier of the State.
There was.
Congratulating the team.
And we're joined by the Melbourne Chargers president, Daniel Cirrus, and, of course, their head coach, Neil Hay. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're very pleased to have you, and we're very pleased to be able to say you are the 2016 Bingham Cup holders.
Yes, we are, which is quite exciting. So
now, that mob up north, Sydney, holding this cup for years and years and years, 8 years, I think.
They've won it 4 out of 7 times before this year.
And it's every 2 years.
It is.
So they were pretty good.
Were pretty good.
They still are pretty good, just that we were better this year.
Look, I don't know how to say this other than bluntly. Melbourne were always seemed to be the very poor cousins in this space.
Look, we're not the poor cousins, just the one. So the Chargers were founded on the ability that anyone can play, whereas the Convicts have a very strong, like New South Wales is rugby country. So you know, they have the ability to leverage that people have played it in school or, you know, played it at uni. And for us, you know, down here in Melbourne, it's like, all right, unless you can kick an AFL footy, rugby doesn't really pop up now and then.
Now, Neil, you are director of the Rugby Union, and you are the head coach for the Chargers. You took on board this challenge a few years back.
That's right.
And when they came to you, what were they like?
One or two of them could catch a ball. None of them could tackle.
So, I mean, you must have seen extraordinary growth for these guys in a really short space of time for them to take on board and be the international champions.
Absolutely. When I first arrived, there was about 23, 24 guys, of which maybe three or four had ever thrown a rugby ball before. We've now got upwards of 60 guys playing regularly. We run two teams, and both teams are very successful, and we really do give that safe environment for the guys to come and learn a new sport.
And you're still welcoming of the, you know, those people that have never been there before, aren't you?
Absolutely. I should think over 50% of all our new players, our newbies each season come, have never played a team sport, let alone rugby, before.
Andrew, I still can't get my head around that these guys that have got no idea are now the international champion.
I'm one of them. I've got an idea now. But
Daniel, what was it for you at the very beginning that attracted you to go along on the day?
I don't know. I got told by a PT that I had big thighs, so I should play rugby. So that was the main thing. But also,
come on,
like,
you'd heard that, a great coach.
but also, I don't know. Like that underlying. I used to play soccer in high school, and team sports, you know, something that I've missed. But you know, learning, like, you know, rugby seems to be a bit of fun, and you can tackle someone, and you know, that slight bloodlust comes out now and then. It's like, why not? And then, but rocked up and, you know, trying to find somewhere that catered to an adult never playing the sport before is very rare. And the Chargers, and you know, just being gay but then combining both of them, is like, oh shit, come down, rock up, play, and like learn how to shoulder charge without knowing what that was or if that was a good thing. And
so there's an extra element of madness of a man who's never played this game wanting to be president of the bloody thing.
And he did it so quickly.
I know. Well, there are others that can comment on that. I won't. But why did you want to take that ball and run with it?
I was involved, like, kind of like the little pious background. Like, I was involved in a lot of kind of local and state government kind of committees, and thought I'd throw a hat into the ring and see if anyone wanted to vote for me, and they did. And kind of this is almost the end of the second year of it, and it's, you know, I wanted to give something back because, you know, wind the clock back 2.5 years, first season of playing rugby, and like, all right, can help out. And then we went to the Bingham Cup in Sydney, and it was, you know, really well done. You know, it's, you know, we won our Bingham Plate, which is the second tier of the competition, and think, you know, we can win the next one. And thought, well, why not? And threw some ideas into it. Go, you know, let's build it and to be bigger and better than what it has been before.
Neil, what sort of leadership does it mean to a team, or to have a man like Daniel want to pick up such an organisation and see them through to being the best in the world?
There's a lot of organisation required. It's not just the coaching. Off the field, a hell of a lot of organisation is required. Dean, he is Mr. Organised, and that is why he does such a good job.
Right.
He must have his underpants nicely ironed and put in a very nice little board. Everything must be segmented in his life, because that's how he deals with us.
But it's also that I've got a really good team that helps out as well. So it's not just me.
So. Spoken like a true leader.
Exactly. I'd be shot at the next community meeting. But community activities rely on the back of volunteers. So it's, you know, you give good direction, but then people are responsible for their own stuff and they do it, and it works. And
there are vacancies here at Joy, Daniel, if you wish to step up to the plate. Neil, to get them from a plate to a cup, what sort of
thing has to go through.
We can take it back a step further. Yeah. The first Bingham I was involved with for them was in Manchester.
Right.
And we were 32nd in the world. Then 2 years later, we'd arrived. We got to a final of the lowest tier that year. 2 years later, we'd arrived. We finished winners of the plate. We were improving all the way along. And we knew that we had to really go for winning the whole competition. But it takes a hell of a lot of organisation on and off the pitch. We need more than one coach, for instance. Whereas right at the start, 20-odd players, I can do the whole thing myself.
Right.
60-odd players, two teams, we've got to have four or five coaches. So we've grown exponentially in all directions. We have to have team managers. You've got to have guys who are willing to go out there and find sponsors, sort out the kit, sort out the relationships with the host club, the Melbourne Unicorns. There's huge amounts that goes on behind the scene. My bit's pretty easy. I get out there, I shout at them, I tell them to run up and down, pass the ball, tackle each other. They go out on the pitch and they do it.
Was it a conscious decision by the club after Sydney 2014 to say our goal is to win the Bingham Cup in 2016 in Nashville?
So it's a bit of a it's kind of a balance. So because we've got two teams, any success, for any individual success, is seen as a group success.
Yep.
So, you know, if there are teams in the world, say the Nashville Grizzlies, who hosted the event this year, they were never going to win the BM Cup, but they had the best time of their lives and they won a lower tier. And that's the main thing, is to have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
The Melbourne-Sydney rivalry always happens, and you feel like, okay, well, in flicking back 2 years ago, we almost were in the semi-final of the top tier and we lost the game on the second day, nil all. And the only reason we lost was because they scored more points or less points were scored against them. And that kind of really agitates you a little bit. It's like, we could have been there. And so that drives you a little bit. And you have new people that have come on board to say, you know what, we could have won, we're going to win, and everyone comes together. And that's why training in an off year is so important. And you start off in January, it's like you're spending two nights a week training, plus games on weekends, plus someone's got a piss up happening, and plus other things that happen, to try and learn the team dynamic, learn the game, and go out there and win, and drive people to come together to say, you know, it's not, we're going to beat Sydney, we're going to win the cup.
He speaks like he's done this his whole life. I mean, it just astounds me.
Dean, as a club, though, we have got now quite two distinct teams. One goes out there with the aim to win every game it goes out to play. The other goes out there to learn and to be part of a team environment and to enjoy the club environment. And when we take them to somewhere like Nashville, when we win the team award for the whole competition, it's almost as important to us as winning the Bingham Cup itself. I say almost, because obviously winning the whole tournament is just that little bit better.
But managing that dynamic is something that our northern cousins have had some difficulty with. Being the winners on the field, and also maintaining that community connection and that whole team perspective. How did the Chargers manage to do that where perhaps the Convicts have failed?
We wouldn't be here without anyone else. So it's not a, you know, they, 10 years ago, they put a line in the sand saying we're going to build a club, and they have their strong relationship. They're a full embodied rugby club that is primarily standalone, and it works really well for them in most parts. For us, we couldn't go out there saying we're going to make a rugby club full stop, because it's a very niche sport in an AFL state, and we wouldn't, the reliance on sponsors who have been here from day dot to new sponsors to even players, we couldn't go out there and say we need 25 players who have played the game for 5 years, and for that we rely on everyone else. So building that, we're always respectful of people who have come in and say, I just want to play a couple of games. There are some people who have started in their, say, mid to late 40s, and you go, like, nervous enough when they go on the field. It's like, you are half the size of the person you're about to tackle, and we can help you learn how to do that. And it's telling and making sure everyone knows that they always have a place in our club, because everyone does. And as long as they're honest about what they want to get out of it, then everyone's respectful of that.
Also, if I can just add just one point there to what Dan said, a huge part of what we're doing is mentoring guys. Not everybody. Some, they all come in different levels and different attitudes to what they're doing. But a lot of the guys come in and they want to be part of a club first and foremost. And playing the rugby is actually something that comes on afterwards. And it's making sure that we look at each individual and deal with them as an individual And I think that that's what a lot of clubs don't bother doing.
It's the only way to maintain, keep them, I guess.
And yeah, I was thinking, are the Chargers unique in its team environment and atmosphere to other gay rugby clubs in the world, do you think?
I don't think we're unique. I think we just have a better practice from it. So the King's Cross Steelers are the London-based team. They've been around for just on 20 years. They brought across four teams to the States and, you know, put on a good show. Their dynamics is a bit more established, so the maturity cycle, they're at that point where they can build on things, and they have different, you know, a newbie group and the kind of intermediate, and then their advanced level to their top team. Whereas for us, from day dot, it was everyone's individual, but everyone's part of the team. And so it's respectful of both dynamics. So I think we've just had better practice at it.
You're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Our guests this evening on Hide and Seek, Neil Hay, who's the head coach for the Melbourne Chargers, and we're speaking with Daniel Siris, who's the president of the organisation. When we come back, we'll address the elephant in the room. This is Hide and Seek on Joy.
Share your thoughts. Email onair at joy.org.au. Have your say. SMS 0427 Joy 949. And connect with your community.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek. Hide and seek. Hide and seek.
Your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self.
You try saying that.
Exploring. There we go. That's better. On Joy 94.9, Andrew the Apprentice and Dean Becker with you tonight. And we're joined finally after a couple of months by Neil and Daniel. Neil, the coach, and Daniel, of course, the president of the Melbourne Chargers.
Now, Neil, 4 weeks you were going to help out this crew, get them on the right path. That was a long time ago.
About 4.5 years ago, yeah.
Hey, tell me what it's like for you, who've lived your entire life with rugby, to take on board this challenge. And let's face it, they're a hell of a challenge. 114 guys, you were saying, Daniel, thereabouts.
As a club,
and steer them to a big win, and it really is a big win.
Well, on year one, I'd never have believed we could win the Bingham Cup, but I think 2 years ago, I knew that the challenge was on, that we could give it a good crack.
Really?
Yeah. 2 years ago, there was enough to be seen that we were going in the right direction. Okay. We were attracting guys who had some athletic ability, who already had some rugby knowledge in some instances. And when we first started, those first 4 weeks that I was going to help out, I was going to help them find a coach. Right. And I said, oh, will you stay? And I did find that I'd never been sort of exposed to the environment of coaching a team that didn't know what they're doing. I'd coach teams that were sort of either first grade or elite.
So they at least knew the basics.
They knew the basics. And all this of a sudden I'm coming, and yeah. I've got to learn how to coach guys.
Yeah.
The very, very basics, yeah. Almost taking it back to schoolboy stuff. And I actually found that I quite enjoyed doing it.
Okay.
That there was a lot of reward to be had in seeing massive improvement over a short space of time, which is more apparent than you would have if you're coaching elite players.
Now, it's fair to say that as Melbourne prepared to wish you on your way and as you headed overseas towards the Bingham Cup, no one expected this to occur.
A Melbourne man arrested in Bates has pleaded guilty to child sex charges.
Rugby union player Michael Quinn has entered a guilty plea after he was charged with travelling to the United States to have sex with a six-year-old boy.
Michael Quinn was detained in May while on a rugby tour to the US. He now admits travelling to Los Angeles intending to engage in illicit sexual conduct with a six-year-old boy.
The 33-year-old agreed to a plea deal that will sentence him to 10 to 13 years in a prison.
The 33-year-old will appear at a sentencing hearing in October.
Mr. Quinn was caught in a sting at a Los Angeles hotel room last month after he paid an undercover agent posing as a pimp to have sex with the child.
He faces a minimum of 10 years in jail.
He was in America on a vacation and to play rugby in a tournament with his Melbourne Chargers rugby team.
Daniel, as captain and president of the Melbourne Chargers team, your role is to look after all of these guys, and one of them goes AWOL. Must have been a difficult time for everybody.
I wish I was captain of the club, but...
Oh, well, as president.
Look, it's just a risk management exercise. So someone has, as an individual, has taken themselves and decided to do actions that are contrary to what the club and, I guess, what the sport stands for, and has ultimately done something that's quite now has been pled guilty, so it's quite a heinous act. And for anyone who had known someone like this, it just is the biggest egregious betrayal of trust that you can put in someone.
And so, therefore has the potential to totally upend a team in a team environment that is on the trajectory to a single goal, like competing for the Bingham Cup. How did you handle that?
Well, look, we found out 2 days when we hit the press. So that was, 2 days before the tournament started.
Wow.
It was... I guess the most horrible thing you've had to deal with, to sit down with 60 of your best friends and say, this person's not coming because of this. The problem is, being tarred with it and to be attached, to say we are now a person down. From that, it's, to try and build people's, tap into their resilience, and a lot of people are. But
it must have upset some of the crew, though.
Oh, it was completely devastating. So sure. You've had someone who's... It's a personal betrayal. So from a club perspective, it's ultimate immediate expulsion. And from a rugby perspective, no longer a player, but still to be attached to it is impacts you severely. But from there, it was trying to get people who needed help the most, so the most help they can, inform the other clubs, so that to ensure that they wouldn't talk about it to our clubs, to our guys.
And how do you handle that? Because I imagine in a sporting field, these things can be negatively used against you. They can be used as sledging. How do you handle that crap?
I guess it's the inbuilt respect of the sport itself. So, we haven't been impacted by sledging of any homophobic aspects for years.
Sure.
And also the clubs that we were playing against, ultimately were being impacted very similar to us. Our name was in the paper, but they they support us, and they're our brothers on the field. And so it wasn't used in any negative way. It was everyone rallied to support us, say, what can we do to help? And for that, it's like, we're here to play rugby. We're here to have guys that are going to go on the field, and some will not be in the greatest mental state. But it rallies everyone together to say, we're going to get through this, because someone's, an individual's not here. Individual's impacted us. But that's not going to stop us being, a great club, and to, just to support one another.
Neil, how do you harness that, if you want to use that word,
and use it for positive force.
Yeah, look, it could go one or two ways when something like this occurs. Well, not that it's ever occurred.
No,
we're up and around. But when there's a crisis within any team, it can go one or two ways. It can fall to bits. Mm. And day one, a lot of players wanted to leave. A lot of players wanted to go home. And although I didn't let on, I felt amongst them. I don't think I've ever felt as hit as hard as I was during this period. We had great support from the Australian Rugby Union, from the Victorian Rugby Union. I was on the phone until about 2 a.m. to them. They were trying to make sure that they were safeguarding our mental health and that we were doing well. The club itself managed to get therapists in to help anybody that needed.
On the ground?
Correct.
Wow. Yep.
And
so it was help from one of our, the few people involved were from the other club. So they lent as whatever assistance we required.
Wow.
Which was great.
And we then had to turn that round to say, we are a club. We didn't want to make it so that we became too insular, because that would be against the ethos of the tournament. The Bingham Cup is about inclusive rugby and being out there to enjoy each other's company. So we had to blend it that, yes, there's a siege mentality, but it's not a siege against the other clubs. It's not a siege against the people who are there. But we're here, and we're going to make sure that that person isn't going to affect our lives. We're going to go forward in a positive way. Whether that was going to work on day one in the on the training pitch, I wasn't sure.
You never know, do you?
No, but the focus wasn't there.
Right.
We went back. We took videos of coaching each day. We go back and we analyse, and then we bring the teams in and we talk to the teams about how they're going in their training runs, and we get them prepared for the game. And we took those opportunities with the videos, instead of actually just looking at the pitch, we took the opportunity to talk about our core values. we took a way to actually talk about what the Chargers meant to the guys and what being at the Bingham Cup meant to them as well. We actually did feel under siege. We never knew what was going to happen when we went down from the hotel the next day.
Yeah.
How is the world going to react to what's happened?
And there were press calls from all over the world wanting to speak to you.
Yeah, Dan got probably more than I did, and I got enough of them. Anybody whose email or phone number was on the website.
And it's fair to say that Joy 94.9 has deliberately not acknowledged the Melbourne Chargers Bingham win until this very interview that we're conducting right now, because we've not known how to handle the particular situation.
Look, at end of the day, no, it's not. This isn't something that you should be preparing for in your day-to-day activities. So, end of the day, we can't. There's no extra information that we can provide to someone who is for an offence that was before the courts, who's pled guilty, and now that individual is by himself, is on the part of the club.
But I just want to acknowledge to you guys as to why we haven't had you in earlier, because it's been a bloody long time since you won, and you should have been acknowledged before this point.
Oh, thank you.
But it's look, good to be here now.
Yes. Oh, look, we can make up for it. Like, I'm all cool. So how many other times you want to send, we'll come along.
Whatever your tastes, you'll find it on
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Something for everybody.
Hi, this is Dan Savage, and you're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
With Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice, our special guests are Daniel Siris, who is the president of the Melbourne Chargers. Neil Hay is with us. He is their head coach. They have just won the Bingham Cup, well, about a month or so ago. And 48 teams competed for the Bingham Cup, Andrew.
That's right.
Now, best in the world this long.
A really important question. Did the Cup actually get back to Melbourne? Is the Cup actually in Melbourne?
I've seen it.
Well, then, yes. Oh, God, finally, giveaway. It's here. It's here.
Oh!
Look,
it's big and silver.
It is big and silver. So, but here, we won on Sunday. It was given to Ian by Alice Hoagland, so Mark Bingham's mum. And Ian was our captain for the tournament. And to ensure that it didn't get lost, because quite a few people were travelling and quite a few people got celebrated continuously for numerous days, and I was one of them afterwards. But we sent it home straight into the next day for people that had to get back home, and it's been in Melbourne ever since.
Wow.
So,
and it's big and beautiful.
It is big and beautiful.
And Neil, from the Victorian Rugby Union's perspective, where does that sit? Where does the Bingham Cup sit?
How important is it?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's even bigger than the Victorian Rugby Union. I think the Australian Rugby Union is very impressed with what we've achieved. It has had a place within their trophy cabinet in the past, and I have a feeling it might end up back there for a period of the time when we've let it go round our
look, it's
sponsors.
A little bit more important down here for now, so they've had it for a while.
But it's that important that they see it as a proper trophy to win that deserves accolade and deserves a presence.
So it is important in a global sense, in that sense. It's on the board as a serious thing to do. Tell me what this means for Melbourne Chargers as we look forward. Is it a case of having to try and get the next four Bingham Cups like our Northern cousins, or is that not the goal? What are the goals now?
I think the first goal is to make sure that we've got two teams to put on the pitch next year, because with the Bingham Cup came a number of players who'd been with us for the last three or four years. For them, that was the pinnacle. It was time for them to say, boots being hung up, we're on our way. So we're now in a rebuilding phase. Rebuilding isn't going to take as long as it did 4.5 years ago. But it will take a while for us to get back to the strength that we were in the last 12 months. But we're going to do it. We'll be there.
So if anyone wants to come down and have a tryout, so the season's almost ending, but you know, with Midsummer and Team Melbourne sports festivals, you know, we're always there, and anyone's welcome to join as long as they have a desire to learn to play and to have fun. Everyone's more than welcome.
You must be having one of your awards nights soon. I've had the privilege of hosting some of those. What can we expect at the Chargers Awards night this year?
That's a bloody good question. So, I guess
lots to drink and fun.
That's what rugby is about: educating and informing. It's a nice celebration of the club and for a lot of people. So we recognise quite a few of our players. So some of the best players who's awarded the most points out of each team. the most improved, and just some fun awards.
It's a big year, though, having had won the Bingham Cup.
It's huge, so I'm glad that I'm not picking some of the winners like Neil is. But it's it'll be a good show. So we're kind of organising that at present, but it'll be in early so late September. So I'll keep you informed of that.
Now, another important thing is, of course, this coming Saturday night, we should, of course, remind everyone that...
He's done his homework, and I love it when he does.
Surf versus turf is happening this coming Saturday at the Laird from 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. I just was reading last year was a sellout, so if you want to,
what is it? Firstly,
what is it? Well, it is the Melbourne Chargers going up against the Water Polo Boys in a whole heap of games on stage. The Surge boys, hopefully in their speedos, the Chargers in their shorts, you know.
Yeah. And it's a fundraiser.
It is a fundraiser. So the Melbourne Surge, those darling boys, we have a mutual supporter, which is the Victorian AIDS Council. So it's a fun night of a few, sometimes like pub games, the lead, but it's also a fundraiser to help us. So for this, the money that we raise, so we split it 50-50. For us, it goes to help our players kind of pay their the subscription fees to actually get on the pitch, to help them travel, and it goes into our player support fund. And for the Surge, it helps them do some pool hire and get new people playing water polo in Victoria.
Now, your big intake is during midsummer. You do mm-hmm. that sort of call out, and you have that sports day and all of that. Put a forward call out and tell us how that works. And, you know, anyone that's interested, what should they do? How do they do it? How do they connect with you guys?
So,
I was going to say that we'll be there. We'll take names. We'll take registrations. We also, you come along, give us your number, you won't get away. But we also like to get people like the Rebels to come along and support us. So the Melbourne Rebels, Melbourne's professional rugby union team, we have an ambassador from the Rebels, but they'll send three or four players along to actually coach on the day to help out. So you get a chance to actually rub shoulders with guys who do this for a living. And they are very, very supportive. But the gay community as well through Team Melbourne. That's the right, way of putting right, it. Yeah. Through the Team Auspice, Melbourne. They advertise us. They put us out there. We get people coming along. And we've got stands at the midsummer. So... there's lots of opportunities for people to come and join us.
Also, Facebook, websites, social media is easier to connect to nowadays.
Google Daniel's name, you'll see his vote. You'll find his
probably
phone
see some sad like, corporate photo, but Facebook's probably the easiest way. End of the year, come and try. Just connect with us now. We'll happily send you some, you know, guess things to prepare for. So get your will in order, but also your mouth guards, your boots, you know, and it's just preparing for people to be aware, and then come down the day. If you like it, great. If you don't, pick up another sport, because team sport's probably one of the best things you can possibly do. And if from a Chargers perspective, if you want to be part of the club as a supporter or sponsor or even a player, players are good.
Neil, you committed for 4 weeks a long time ago. Why are you still hanging around four and something years later?
Oh, good question. The wife asked me off. I have no idea. Apart from the fact I love the guys.
Yeah.
They are a great bunch of boys.
Love you
too, Neil. Good stuff. Well, I want to thank you both for being open to tackle some of the difficult stuff that we wanted to address.
Look, it was a hard game against Sydney, let's be honest. So,
do you have a message for our dear friends up in Sydney, Daniel?
Well, we'll see you at Purchase Cup. So that's the domestic tournament that we play against Sydney, Brisbane and New Zealand. Obviously the Cup's going to be down south for a while, so if you want to come and visit, you're more than welcome to. But good luck with your end of the season, and we'll see you soon.
Oh, how diplomatic.
Sorry. We won. There you go.
Daniel Sirius, Neil Hay, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on being the winners of Bingham Cup 2016.
Thanks for allowing us to come in and letting us celebrate. Thanks very much.
You're with Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice on Hide and Seek. This is Joy.
At Joy 94.9, there are approximately 300 volunteers bringing you over 75 shows, 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of facts and figures to take in, but here's one more number for you to think about. 1-300-569-949. That's the number to call to talk to the Joy sales team about becoming a Joy sponsor. One phone call can get your business on air and online, reaching thousands of Joy listeners at a price you can afford. 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949.
Joy 94.9.
Hey Andrew, that's about it from you.
It is. A big thank you to the Charger boys for coming in tonight.
It's about it from me too.
Next week, AWOL. We get AWOL preview happening next week. Don't forget, everything about us is at joy.org.au/hide and seek.
Till next time, keep well.
Bye.
Bye for now.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.